Good evening. Welcome, and most welcome to the House of the Lord. We're going to look tonight at Romans chapter 6. Can you turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 6? The person I met yesterday being a stark reminder of the people and their needs reminds me of the work that God has for you and I to do. He doesn't leave us here for nothing. He could take us home to be with Him because He saved us, right? But He leaves us here to do a job. He has a job for us. And that job that He has, He wants us to lean upon Him to do it. But there's also opposition because we're in a warfare. That opposition, of course, the devil doesn't like us to be following in God's ways, and he will do anything he can to hinder us. You know, one tool that he uses is to try to get you and I to sin, so he'll place temptations in our way in order for us to fall, because if we fall and if we are looking internally and looking at ourselves and we think, how could I do such a thing? And woe is me, I'm not walking with the Lord. We'll get so discouraged that we'll sit along on the fence line. We won't really be active for the Lord. But God wants us to get over our sin, realize that it's paid for by the blood of Christ, and to continue on that we might be active in His service. Because there's only a short time left and there's a lot of work to be done. There's a lot of people who need the Lord. There's a lot of people in desperation right now. And do we want to spare the time to be a blessing to them? Many people might spit at you, throw an egg at your car or something like that. But there are those who know the truth and just need that encouragement to step over and trust Christ as Savior. There's a lot of people who know that the world has gone silly, it's gone crazy. And they need that encouragement to see that they too can be saved. But it's our job. And you know what? It's actually a privilege that we have given to us by God. Are we deserving of that position to be able to tell people? No, none of us are, right? None of us are deserving of it. But because of God's grace toward us, He wants us to rely upon Him and do His bidding. We're going to look at Romans 6, which actually tells us somewhat about dying to our sin. We're dead with Christ. Okay? So let's read the chapter. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Sorry, but that there is a question that actually refers to the previous chapter. Right? What shall we say then? Well, what does that mean? It means that he said something about it beforehand. Let's go back up to the previous chapter, verse 17 and through. For if by one man's offence death reigned by one, much more they which received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So who is the one man that it's referring to? Talking about Adam, isn't it? Okay? For if by one man's offence death reigned by one, and we saw back in verse 12 there, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. Going back to continue on in verse 18. Therefore, as by the offence of one, again talking about Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. And that's obviously talking about Jesus Christ. And he's also known as the second Adam. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Then he goes on to the law again. He says, moreover, the law entered that the offence might abound. See, if there was no law, then the sin is not there, is it? If we were not, if Adam was never told, you can't take that fruit, then to take that fruit wouldn't have been sin. Does that make sense? So here, the law entered that the offence might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So in other words, sin abounded, we're full of sin because we're Adam's offspring, and because Adam sinned, we were born sinners and so on. But because sin abounded, grace did much more abound. The work of Christ was sufficient to pay for every person's sin. Doesn't matter how bad, whether it's a lie or whether it's a murder. You know, even a lie, a little white lie, is still sin in God's sight because he's absolutely perfect. You put one little mark on a white sheet of paper and it makes it less than perfect, impure. That's why a little sin cannot enter heaven, as much as a big sin cannot enter heaven. God must judge all. But he has when he judged Jesus Christ in your place and in my place. Okay, so what should we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Shall we go ahead and sin? Should we take Christ as our Saviour and say, thank you, Lord, I can live as I like because you'll pay for all of my sin, as Pastor Matt mentioned this morning? God forbid. Okay, no, that's not how he wants us to live. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And you know what? We often seem to think that, well, I just can't overcome this sin. I can't seem to overcome it. It's there, it tempts me, and I seem to fall time and again. You might get over this sin, you might get over that sin, but there's something that continually makes you fall. But what does he say about it? Does he want us to continue in it so that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Okay, is that talking about when you and I were baptized? No, it's not. It's not talking about our water baptism. Water baptism gets us wet, right? Water baptism is an outward sign of what's happened inwardly. He's talking about the baptism when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour, because we're baptized in the Spirit. You know that word baptized? It actually, the word means immersed and or dunked or completely go under or completely wet, right? So in other words, that sprinkling has absolutely no foundation of truth whatsoever. The word itself shows that, if you care to look at it. But here, we've been baptized or immersed into Jesus Christ. Now, we get to think that, oh, that's this physical going underwater, right? Because we don't understand the original meaning of the word. But when we look at it, if you're immersed into Jesus' death, that's a different understanding, isn't it? We understand that Jesus died, and he's actually not saying that we were there and nailed on the cross with him, but he's saying that we need to, and you'll see this as we go further on, we need to identify ourselves that, like as he died, so we are dead. Our old body of sin has died too. It says here, those who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Did you know that it has been said of slaves that the only freedom we know is death, because we don't know any other freedom, and therefore we don't fear death? It's because that's the only freedom they know. But I want you to know that when a slave dies, the master cannot control him any longer. He is free. But, you know, here, God wants us to know that he paid for our sin. And like as when Christ died on the cross, he died once, but then he lives. And when he was raised to life again, death had no more dominion over him. And that's how we need to reckon ourselves, or we need to realize that Christ has paid for our sin. And this is, God wants us to understand that we are to walk in newness of life, and this body of sin shouldn't have dominion over us. Now, does it? Yes, and we do find that it does, but we need to begin by reckoning ourselves to be dead with Christ. And that will largely help us when we understand that God has done the work. See, before we came to Christ, basically we were compelled to sin. Now, we've got a choice. We'll see some things as we follow through with that. Verse 5, for if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. He doesn't want us to continue on serving sin. And by the way, we are a slave or a servant to one or the other, to Christ or to sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Okay, like that slave was freed from his master. We can be freed from sin if we recognize that we are dead with Christ. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Why does he say to reckon? What is that word? That word reckon is often used in banks. If they've got to tally up the money, but then there's a double check going on. Now, one needs to balance with the other, and the final figures need to come out true. They need to come out the same. If there's a discrepancy, there's a problem. They need to go back over everything until they balance. That's what it means to reckon. Well, we need to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. We need to understand that Christ has actually paid for that. We don't have to yield to this body of sin. We don't have to yield to the way of sin. We can yield ourselves unto God, and that's what he wants us to do. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We need to spend time in God's word. We need to spend time realizing that we're alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord, because when we're alive unto him, if we get active in the work of the Lord, I think that helps us to not be active in sin, because you do the things, if you find that you do the things that you can do for the Lord, you won't have time to get involved in the sinful things or the things that so easily beset you. Okay, if your mind starts to delve into sinful things early in the morning, then what you need to do is get up earlier than that. And you need to bury your mind in God's word and pray and ask for his help and ask for his direction through the day. Get involved in doing what God does want you to do so that these other things don't have stronghold over you. God wants to help us with it. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, this is in verse 12, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Why did Paul say, don't let this sin control you? Don't let this sin reign in your mortal body. why did he say it? It is because he understands very well that we all have a problem with it. I don't have a day where I don't have some sort of a temptation, right? But we need to learn to yield ourselves unto God, not unto our sinful flesh. Okay? We are free to do that, and God makes us free. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. What does Jesus say? If you love me, keep my commandments. He wants us to keep his commandments. Okay? We need to yield our members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Does that mean because we're not under the law, but under grace, that we can continue in sin? That was the first question he had, but also he reiterates it here. He says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Again, he says, God forbid. Just because, yes, he will cover our sin again, doesn't mean that we should continue in grace. And as Pastor Matt's been going through basically the fruit of our salvation, the fruit of our salvation should not be to yield ourselves to sin, but unto God. We're going to look at a few verses afterwards in Galatians and Ephesians. But we'll probably wait till the end to do that. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. We can yield either way. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. And by the way, we can all say that here. We were the servants of sin. We were tied into this sinful way, and that's all we could do. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. This is something we need to reckon. We need to understand in order to help us to live for the Lord. He's paid the penalty, but he wants us to walk a holy life. He tells us, be ye holy as I am holy. Touch not the unclean thing. Why do we need to continually be told this? It's because he knows we have a struggle with this. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. You know, if we were willing to do that, if we're willing to yield ourselves unto God, yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness, you would find that you would be encouraged yourself because you've yielded to God in areas that maybe previously you've fallen and fallen into sin continually, but you said no and you're choosing, it's a choice, choosing to go God's way, and that will help you to see that God can use you for his glory, and you can be a testimony of God's grace to others. You can be an encouragement to other people. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. When you were the servants of sin, that's before you were saved, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin, ye became servants to God. Okay? You were free from righteousness in your sin, but now you're free from sin and you've become servants to God. It says ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. That's where we were heading. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I'd like you to look up, please, Ephesians 4:22. Ephesians 4:22. That looked wrong. That's because I was in Galatians. He tells the Ephesians here that you put off concerning the former conversation. Conversation doesn't mean talking, it means the manner of life. The old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. He wants us to put that off. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. God wants us to put this on. Wherefore, putting away lying, he's now speaking about the practical outpouring of all of this in some practical ways. Putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbour. See how you put off the sinful and you hold to the righteousness? Putting off lying, speaking truth with his neighbour, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, putting off the stealing. And what does he put in its place? Sure, stealing no more, but he says, but rather let him labour, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Interesting, isn't it? You know, as a kid, I used to think that would be so easy to get that thing that belongs to that other person and no one would ever know. And I used to think that. So even if I wasn't a thief, I certainly thought about it. Okay, and I could have very easily chosen that way. And God tells us to put off that thinking. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. He wants us to be renewed. He wants us to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed under sin, but alive under Christ. Put off the stealing. Realize, what does he tell us here to put in his place? Get out there and do a bit of work. And go and help those who need your help. Go and help those by giving to those who need it. This is practical outliving how God wants us to live a holy life. Give to him that needeth. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. So don't, you know, when the guys at work, I'll tell you what, some of you guys probably have worked in places that don't think twice about what they say. I used to work probably with about 10 or 15 gyp rockets. And their music was one thing, it was bad enough, but I was sort of able to suppress that out of my mind and not even think of it. So much so, day in, day out, I would just try and put that out of my mind. I'd walk into shopping centres, not hear the music. It could be blaring. And everyone else in my family would cringe, whereas I would tend to not even hear it. But there's another thing about when the guys at work would be talking around lunchtime or something and these funny jokes would come out, dirty jokes, right? And sometimes they're funny. But I tell you what, make sure that you don't join in with that stuff. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. That's what he's telling you. Put that away. If you had fun in that in time past, leave it aside. And what does he say now? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. So learn to build people up. I used to also, and I still probably do a certain amount of it, I give people a bit of flack, a bit of rib, you know what I mean by that. Joking around, jesting, what the Bible calls it, and probably somewhat foolish jesting too. But God tells us, not like I think twice about that now, and I limit my joking around because it's not what builds a person up. It's like tearing people down, having a bit of fun. I didn't used to realize it, but there was this girl in our youth group, and we used to give her a bit of a hard time, mucking around. She would laugh. We only found out after she married my brother that she would go home and cry. It's not building somebody up. That was tearing them down and having fun at the same time over somebody else. We've got to be careful about the way we communicate, and we've got to learn to build people up, to strengthen them in the Lord, to encourage them to do what's right, to please the Lord. And I've forgotten where I'm up to. What verse was that in? Sorry? 29. Oh, there we go, yes. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Did you know that you are sealed? Once you're saved, you are sealed unto the day of redemption. But what this verse here is saying, grieve not the Holy Spirit of promise, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Did you know if you do carry on in that sinful behavior, do you know what you're doing? You are grieving the Holy Spirit. You're still sealed, but you are grieving the Holy Spirit, and He doesn't want you to walk in that way. He wants you to understand and to reckon that you are dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto Christ. We are not our own because we've been bought with a price, that price being the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, therefore, that's why we need to walk in the ways of Christ. We need to put away that corrupt communication. We need to learn to build people up. We need to steal no more, rather work and give to those who need it. We need to put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, there was another verse that I'll look at, and that's in Galatians. But I've got to go back to find where it is. Galatians 5:1. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. See that? Liberty. Where Christ has made us free. But don't we have this temptation continually to sin? Day by day by day. I want you to understand that here he's not saying that you won't be tempted. Far from it. But he's telling us to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. He has set us apart. He wants us to live unto him, not unto ourselves. And we now have that opportunity to do that, knowing that he has paid for our sin and gives us the power in our lives to walk with him. If you know that, it's going to be so much easier to say no to sin and yes to him. And when you see that God is having victory in your life, you will be encouraged to step out by faith and walk doing God's bidding, not your own. God wants to use you. Will you allow him? There's many people out here hurting. Will you help? God wants us to live for him, not ourselves. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you that your word is great. It is powerful. Lord, to the saving of souls, to the changing of lives, it empowers us to live for you instead of sin. Lord, give us victory, we pray. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the power. Help us to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Help us to live unto righteousness. Because, Lord, that's how you want us to. That's what you've saved us for. We pray, Lord, that in so doing, the world might see Christ in us and that you would do a great work, Lord, out here in our area with the people that we rub shoulders with. Give us boldness to share Christ. Help us to remember that we are here but for a short time. Help us to understand that this is not our home, But Lord, this is temporary, but we're waiting for our real home. Lord, in a new body, a body that can't be tempted with sin. Lord, it's not a place of rest here, but we are waiting for a place of rest. Lord, we do thank you and praise you for your word. Help us to know your word. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us to rest upon you and your word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.